Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Do you have anyone in your life who will just call you out? Who will just tell you exactly what they're thinking about you, about what you're doing, at exactly whatever moment they choose to? Do you have anybody like that? They'll tell you exactly what you need to hear, when you need to hear it, whether you want to hear it or not. I've had a few of these friends over the years who have performed that task in my life. And I can remember one such incident. Maybe it was like 12, 13 years ago, something like that. I had let my weight get way out of control. I was way, way bigger than I should have been. And I kind of made a decision, you know, I think I should do something about this. I think I should lose some weight. And I told my friend and coworker, Shelby, about this. I said, I think I need to lose some weight. And she looks at me and she says, you know what you need? You need to stop going to Sheetz every day. You need to stop going to Sheetz on every single one of your breaks. Every day I see you come back in here with junk, with whale blubber. That was her nickname for snacks. I don't know. Everything you come in is horribly unhealthy and terrible for you. You need to stop going. In fact, you're addicted to Sheetz. And in fact, you are not going to lose any weight until you stop being addicted to Sheetz. And I don't think you can do it. Harsh, but fair. So I used that, and now I took that, and I used that as motivation. Because I knew, okay, I do have to make some changes, and that my whole Sheetz run thing is probably something that's not really helping me going forward. Plus, I knew I had that level of accountability now. I knew that if I brought something in from Sheetz, I was going to get lectured about it. Plus, I had the motivation of when I eventually ended up losing about 50 pounds, I went to her and let her know that she was wrong all the time. And that was a fun experience. So we are in this middle of this conversation called Love Comes to Town, and we're looking at this idea of what does it look like for us to love those in our community like Jesus loves. So we're going to be spending some time today focusing on one aspect of loving people that we don't often think about or don't often connect with loving, this idea of telling the truth. So we're going to be spending a lot of time today in Ephesians chapter 4. So just a little bit of background on this passage. This is Paul addressing the Ephesian church. And he's talking to them about what it looks like to take off the old sinful self and put on the new self in your relationship with Christ. In other words, what does it take to become spiritually mature? So for our context, spiritual maturity means becoming more like Jesus. Now, as we become more like Jesus, we start to learn how to love people like Jesus loved people. So let's look at it. Let's look at Ephesians 4:15. And we're going to spend a lot of time on this verse, and we're going to break it down. So let's read it. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Read it one more time. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So what Paul is saying here is he's saying speaking the truth in love will help us grow in spiritual maturity. But what does speaking the truth in love actually mean? And how is that going to help us bring love to town? So let's look at it. Let's break it down specifically. We're going to break down especially this phrase, speaking the truth in love. And we're going to start with looking at the idea of truth. So we cannot be people who speak the truth without actually knowing the truth, without actually valuing the truth. If we don't know and value the truth, we can't actually speak it. So a mature Christian is somebody who seeks and values the truth. But at a much more basic level, it means that we have to believe in the existence of truth. Now, truth is a complicated concept in our society. The idea of objective truth or universal truth is increasingly being rejected. If you've ever heard the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, kind of meaning everyone has a different definition and there's no one real understanding of it, a lot of people view truth now in the same way. Truth is in the eye of the beholder. I was listening to an interview recently with where this guy was interviewing a professor from somewhere, I forget exactly where, and the interviewer was asking about the professor's ideas, and he kept asking the question. He's like, but how do you know that that idea is true? How do you know it's true? And you could see the professor like physically bristle at the word truth. In fact, he became so uncomfortable with the idea and this word truth that he said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by truth? And the concept made him so uncomfortable that he ended the interview. Now, maybe you've seen things like this. You've heard about the idea of people rejecting the concept of absolute truth. Maybe you've heard phrases like, well, that's good for you, but not for me. Or live truth. Or my personal truth. Your truth. Why is it that the idea of objective truth has become such an issue? Well, there are some philosophical ideas that have influenced our culture that have led us in this direction, that have permeated our thinking. And one of them is the concept of postmodernism. Now, postmodernism is a very complicated, massively branching, complex thing that we don't have time to fully get into. But there are a couple of key tenets that will help us talk about this idea of objective truth. So the first one is this. Postmodernism says that we all have different perceptions. We all have different perceptions. So we experience an event and we filter that event through all of our perceptions. We could be sitting in the same room, but we might have slightly different experiences based on our history, background, personality, all kinds of things, all over the place. Okay? So we have different perceptions, each one of us. Okay? So far? Yeah. Next, it says, it takes it to the next level, takes that one step further and says, actually, we are incapable of perceiving things outside of our individual perceptions. We are incapable of perceiving things outside of our own perspective, outside of our own specific perspective. It's impossible for us to do that. In other words, everything is subjective. Everything is subjective. And therefore, they draw the conclusion that because we all have different perspectives, and because we're incapable of experiencing and processing anything outside of those, that there must be no objective truth. So when we hear a phrase like my truth, what is actually being said here is this is what I think. This is what I feel, therefore, it's my truth. It's elevating personal perception and subjective interpretation to the place that normally would be held by truth. And so many of the things in our society has come to value and to believe in begin with the starting assumption that everything is subjective. And these ideas have consequences. It means, when fully lived out, that there is no truth for us to be held accountable to. No universal standard for morality, for right or for wrong. Objective reality doesn't exist. Everything is a matter of opinion. And when it's fully lived out, there can be no common framework for which we can communicate, resolve differences, create society. Now, I think when we think about these ideas, most of us at some level or another understand or have the sense that there are things that are actually true, that there are things that are actually right, that there are things that are actually good. And I think also we have a sense that there are some things that are actually false or wrong or bad. I think almost everybody, if you ask them, would believe that murder is wrong, no matter who commits it. So what is it we're sensing here? We have a sense that there are some things that are actually true and false, even if we can't always intellectually describe it. So what is it we're sensing? What is this concept of truth? Well, here's the first definition. The idea of truth as objective is simply that no matter what we believe to be the case, some things will always be true and other things will always be false. Our beliefs, whatever they are, have no bearing on the facts of the world around us. That which is true is always true, even if we stop believing in it and even if we stop existing at all. So to just give you a quick analogy, if I said to you right now, I don't actually think there's a wall back there. I don't actually think there's a wall back there. That the idea that there's a wall back there is your idea. It's not my idea. Now, if I were to, for some reason, get up off this stage and go run headlong straight into that wall, what is going to happen? Nothing good to me. Okay? But you see, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. It's there. That's the concept. Another definition. If something is objective, it has correspondence with reality. Objective truth is something that is true for everyone, whether they agree with it or not. Okay. Now, if I were to tell you right now, I hate gravity. I don't like it. Gravity is the only reason why I don't get to fly. And I have a problem with that. So I'm going to produce a world that has no gravity. I'm going to say right now, there is no gravity, and I'm going to live out my world in a way that there's no gravity. What's going to happen if I drop this key? It still fell, didn't it? It still fell. Gravity is describing a concept that's correspondence with reality. It describes something, a way the world actually is, whether I believe it or not. That is the concept of objective truth. That is the concept of objective reality. So where does this reality, where does this objective truth come from? This is the big question. See, the truth is actually not subjective. Why? Because it doesn't actually come from us. It is not a human creation. It comes from God. God created the world. God set up the universe and presented the rules that the universe operates under. It was God who created the truth. What is our source of truth? Jesus puts it like this in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what postmodernism gets wrong. Truth is not a human creation. Truth comes from God. Truth exists in the person of Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, as we learn to see things like he does, to do things the way he does, we get closer and closer to the truth. So we need to be people of the truth. And in order to do that, we need to understand that God is the source of truth and reality. And then we need to value that which corresponds to reality that God has set up. And thirdly, we need to pursue a path through life based on the truth. So what does it look like to pursue a path of life based on the truth? The reality is there are two pathways through life. Telling the truth or not telling the truth are not merely two different choices. They're actually two different pathways that lead us down two different directions. So let me tell you a story about this. When I was in fifth grade, like a lot of fifth grade kids, I didn't like doing my homework. And I especially didn't like doing my homework at night. Because I went to school all day, then I'd come home, I'd go to soccer practice, then I'd have to do my homework, and then it's bedtime. Like, there's no fun in there. There's no time. So one of the things I've learned about myself is that I have a tendency to constantly be thinking about different ways to do things. And most of the time I've been able to channel that into positive outcomes, but sometimes it gets me into trouble. And this is one of those times. So I started scheming of a way that I could get away with not doing my homework at night. So I thought to myself, you know what? I have a couple of hours before I go to school in the morning. What if I did my homework before I went to school? Sounded pretty good to me. Only problem is I knew my parents wouldn't go for it. So I came up with an idea. What if I tell my parents I'm actually working on future work in the morning while I actually work on yesterday's homework? And at the moment, I thought that was a good idea. And I pulled it off, and it worked. Now, I didn't maintain this scheme very long, but what I soon came to realize is that this was not merely a choice. It became a pathway. For years after that, procrastination became a regular pattern for me when it came to my work. And it took me years to sort through that, figure out what had happened, and trace it back to that moment. It became a pathway for me. Have you ever seen this play out in your life? A lie led you down a pathway and you ended up somewhere you didn't expect to go? Have you seen that happen? Have you seen that in someone else's life? So why are we so tempted to lie? Well, a lot of times in the moment, we feel like it's an easier way out. Like there are less consequences for telling the truth. Sometimes we're just trying to escape something. Maybe it's hurt feelings, maybe it's negative outcomes, or maybe we're trying to save face. Well, we don't often realize that untruth, even when it's well-meaning, often has unintended consequences in your life and in the lives of those around you. So we must become people who value the truth. But that's not the only thing we need. How do we combat untruths in our own lives and in the lives of those around us and everywhere around us? Well, that's where we come back to our verse for the second part of this. Instead, speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. Verse 25 says this in that same chapter. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak the truth, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So we are not simply to believe the truth. We are not just simply supposed to live out the truth. We are supposed to speak the truth. Why is it not enough just to believe it? Why is it not enough just to live it out? Why do we have to speak it? The truth is, there is incredible power in the words that we say. There is incredible power in the words that we say. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The tongue has the power of life and death. See, something different happens when the truth actually gets spoken. There's a way of making things more real, doesn't it? And we all instinctively know this, don't we? Think about the first time you told your spouse or somebody else that you love them. Did that not change the relationship? Did it not make it a little bit different? Did it not take it to a different level? Or when somebody finally comes to the point where they can admit and say out loud that they have a problem. We see this all the time in NA and AA spaces. That moment when someone comes to the reality that they have a problem and can speak that out loud. There's incredible power in that. Or when somebody comes and they confess a sin. The sin was already a reality, but something changes when we confess it out loud. There is incredible power in actually saying the words. It has a way of bringing something into reality that we didn't know exist before, a way of clarifying things that were unclear. We also see what happens when we don't speak what we know to be true. This week, Jess and I were watching Mission Impossible 3. It was on TV. And one of the plot lines in this movie is Tom Cruise is a spy and he gets engaged. And his fiance doesn't know that he's a spy. And so this becomes a big point in the plot of the movie. And the whole time, multiple times during the movie, Jess is saying, you need to tell her what you do. You need to tell her what your job is. How do you expect to have a relationship when she doesn't know what you do? But how many of our relationships have been choked off or starved or allowed to wither because of words not spoken? How many times has that happened? See, we serve a God who literally spoke the universe into existence, and we are made in his image. Now, our power in speech is significantly less than God's is, but we cannot underestimate the power of our words. So if saying the truth is such power to it, why don't we do it more often? Well, for many of us, believing in truth and valuing truth is so much easier than actually speaking the truth. Why is that? Why is it so hard for us to speak the truth? Speaking the truth has consequences. If you've ever had to have a conversation with your teen or with your adult children about issues in their lives, you know the truth has consequences. If you've ever had to have a conversation with a friend who's about to make a terrible decision, you know the truth has consequences. If you've ever had to take a stand at work or at school over something that you think is wrong, you know the truth has consequences. Often we do not speak the truth because we're afraid of its consequences. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of hurting other people. We're afraid of the stigma of being called mean, unkind, bigoted, being canceled, any of that. And we know many people have a hard time facing the truth. I love this movie. You can't handle the truth. But we know it's true. A lot of people can't. There's a fascinating quote from Nietzsche who says this. He says, a man's worth is determined by how much truth he can tolerate. Interesting. In a culture that no longer values truth, that actively rejects it, speaking the truth can be like flipping on a bright light in a dark room full of sleeping people. Have you ever had that happen to you? Yeah, it's not a good reaction when that happens to you. And the same thing happens when you speak the truth in a culture that doesn't value it. It's going to be reacted to negatively. People are going to actively reject it. They're going to react angrily to it. And that's what many of us fear. We fear the reaction that truth often brings. So we're faced with a dilemma. On one hand, it feels wrong to tell someone something that isn't true or to withhold the truth from them. But on the other, it feels bad to risk hurting people's feelings, offending people, breaking relationships, and being perceived as uncaring. So how can it be loving to tell someone the truth and risk all those negative consequences? Sometimes it feels like loving and truth are incompatible. So how do we move forward? Back to our verse. Third part of it, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Mature believers understand how to speak the truth in love. So does that mean that telling the truth and all its potential consequences is actually loving? I think it is. How many of you have seen one of those like American Idol, America's Got Talent, any of those type of shows? Any of you ever seen one of those? Yeah, a lot of people. Usually at the first couple episodes while everyone's still auditioning, there's always the people who get up there that are absolutely horrible. I mean, they are horrible. They get up and sing and they're screeching and you want to turn the volume down. It's like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with you? And if you're like me, a lot of times we react in the way it's like, what is wrong with this person? How in the world did they think they could get up here and do this? But I also have another thought on that. Why did nobody in these people's lives tell them before this moment that they are terrible at this? Why was nobody willing to have that conversation? Why did their friends and family let them get up on stage and become a national embarrassment? Who lets themselves do that? Who lets people in their lives do that? See, we've all seen people who are running from the truth in their lives. People who are living out a lie, people who are rejecting reality, who have something wrong, unhelpful, or harmful that's guiding them in their life. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. But if we believe that the truth is connected to the reality that God has set up, if we believe that living out untruth will have devastating consequences now or down the road, then the only loving choice we have is to speak the truth. See, most of us have experienced this. Someone told you exactly what you needed to hear at the exact moment you needed to hear it. I was talking with some of the women who went on the retreat recently, and they talked to me about something their speaker, Jessica, said to them. And she told them that she has friends who stab them in the front, who stab her in the front. And I love that concept, someone who will stab you in the front. Now, at the time, it can be hurtful and painful, but how often have we experienced that? And later, we were grateful, and our life is better as a result of it. We all need people who are going to stab us in the front, who will tell us when we are getting out of line, who will tell us when we are headed down the wrong path. We need that person in our lives, and we need to be that person in the lives of those around us. So we must understand there are consequences for speaking the truth. And we must be willing to accept them. Another thing we need to understand. There is a right way and a wrong way to tell someone the truth. Now, we've all probably been very familiar with the wrong way of telling someone the truth. When I think of this, the first thing that pops into my head is all the church signs. Giving a church a sign is like giving a 12-year-old a social media account. Nothing good is going to happen. But I've seen these, especially the ones around hell. Have you seen these? In the summertime, a church will post something that says, "You think this is hot? Signed, God." Or how about, "Will your eternal home be smoking or non-smoking?" Or how about this one? "Heaven has strict laws, hell has open borders." You can just feel the cringe rolling off of this one. Ugh. But so often, so many of us are so bad at speaking the truth in love. We're so bad at this. Some of you struggle with understanding that there is truth. Some of you struggle with actually speaking the truth. And some of you struggle with speaking the truth in a loving manner. It is possible to speak the truth, be theologically correct, be factually correct, and still be wrong. So how can we thread that needle? How can we do it? I think there's two things we need to understand: motivation and execution. Motivation. As you speak, what is in your heart? Is it a desire to be right? Is it a desire to score points? Or do you care about the person? Is there genuine care? Is there concern in your heart? Before speaking, examine your motivations. Secondly, execution. Are you choosing your words carefully? Do your words properly reflect the truth? Do they show care and concern? Do they accurately reflect the heart and desire of God for the other person or for whoever you're talking to? Now, this sounds incredibly difficult because it is. That is why speaking the truth in love is a sign of spiritual maturity. If we could master this, how much better would our lives be? How many fewer conflicts would we get into? How much better would the lives of the people around us be? And as always, our example is Jesus. We don't have time to look at all of the examples of Jesus doing this in our lives, but here's just a few. It's a great study to go through. If you ever want to study, go through and look at all of the times that Jesus told someone the truth in love. There's a lot of times where Jesus had a lot of difficult conversations with people. And he is the master of mastering that tension between telling the truth and doing it in love. What would be different in your life and the lives of those around you if you believed in the truth and took it seriously? How would your relationships be different if you were not afraid to speak the truth when it was needed? How many fewer fights, how much less relationship damage would you cause if you learned how to speak the truth in love? If you want to respond to today's sermon, there's three ways you can do it. What are you struggling with? What do you need to work on? On your connection card, you can mark off any or all of the ones you need to work on this week. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. If we want to love people like Jesus loved people, we need to learn how to speak the truth in love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we understand, God, that loving people is very difficult. And God, part of our maturing process, part of the process of becoming like you, so that we can love people like you love them, is learning to tell people the truth in love. God, we so often struggle with that. Sometimes, God, we struggle with understanding that there is truth. Truth that is not from us, but truth that comes from you. And sometimes, God, it is the hardest thing for us to do, to say what needs to be said in the moment it needs to be said. And sometimes, God, we're great at speaking the truth, but we lack love. God, show us in our lives where we can speak the truth in love. Where do we struggle? How can we become better than this? God, we need it in our lives. The people around us need it in their lives. And the world needs people who will speak the truth in love. God, help us to become those people. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.